Morning. Today we have the story of Solomon building the temple in 1 Kings chapters 5 and 6. The heart of this account, the really important lesson to learn here is that however hard we try to build a temple to God or to come to before God on our own, we are going to fail. We need God to come and build a temple for us. We need God to come to us. We cannot come to God. And we see that in the account today that Solomon builds this beautiful temple, this amazing temple, and yet it does not accomplish the purpose for which it was built. It would take Christ coming to be the true temple of God. All the gold and money and time that Solomon built could not build an everlasting temple. Christ had to come in order to build an everlasting temple. And in the same way, all of the wisdom of Solomon, we talked about the wisdom last week, and all that wisdom of Solomon, the wisest person who ever lived, could not build or establish an everlasting kingdom. Solomon's kingdom would be destroyed and taken away. It would take Christ to come again to accomplish that. The heart of this account is really in 1 Kings chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, where the Lord comes to Solomon and the Lord says, "Concerning this temple which you are building, if you walk in my statutes, execute my judgments, keep all my commandments, and walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel." Like what so often happens when the Lord comes to us to speak about a certain subject is that we're kind of left, huh? What? It doesn't really sound like the Lord's actually talking about what we thought he was talking about. He says in verse 12, "Concerning this temple which you are building," but then what he says doesn't really seem to have anything to do with the temple. And the point here is that God is basically saying to Solomon, look, it's a really nice temple. It's very grand. I get that. But that's not what really matters. The gold on the outside of the temple is not what I really care about. What I care about is how you live and that you walk in accordance with my word. If you do that, I will dwell among you regardless of how grand or how poor the temple is. It can be a little shack that you come to worship me in or the grandest building in the world. I'm going to be there if you walk in my word and walk according to my commandments, not based on how grand or beautiful the temple is. And of course, Jesus himself would echo that same thought when he gives us the promise, if two or three come together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. If only two or three come together, regardless of the grandeur of the temple. So that's going to be the focus of our Sunday school story this week. It's not the gold that matters to God, but what's in the heart. And of course, when it comes to the heart, we've all failed. We're not going to accomplish that by ourselves. So we need Christ to come and establish God's everlasting temple and God's eternal temple. Okay, what is the purpose of the temple? Backing up a step. The size and the dimensions of the temple. One thing that the kids might like to do, especially the older kids, is you could compare the building of the temple to the building of the ark. So you'll find the dimensions of the ark in Genesis chapter 6. And you could just ask the kids, like, okay, how does the dimensions of the temple compare to the dimensions of the ark? Obviously, cubits is something that we're not familiar with. So after they kind of compare the two, you might want to talk about what a cubit is and how wide and long it is. I'm sure your teacher's notes have that all laid out for you. So I'm not going to go over it in the audio, which you just have to write it down anyway. But if you take them back to Genesis 6 and take a look at the ark there and compare that to the temple, that might be kind of fun. You're going to find out that the temple is about the same width and height, but quite a bit smaller in terms of length than the ark was. Why did Solomon build the temple? Why does God need a temple? We know that God is present everywhere. So what's the purpose of building a temple? Many people will say that today too, like, oh, we don't need a church. We can just worship God anywhere. We don't need to go to church on Sunday. We can worship God anywhere. Well, of course, the answer is that, well, God doesn't need a temple, but we need a temple, we need a church, we need a place where we can come and know that God is listening. In 1 Kings 8:27, Solomon himself, in praying at the dedication of the temple, says, will God indeed dwell on earth? And the answer to that, of course, is yes. And that's the amazing, wonderful answer. God will come and dwell on earth, not in the temple so much as he will come and dwell on earth in the person of Christ Jesus. Of course, one of the names given to Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And so we see that Jesus is the temple. Jesus is the place where God comes to us. And that was the purpose of the Old Testament temple, to have a place for the people to know, okay, here is where I come to be with God. And God gave lots of promises with regard to the temple to reassure his people in order to build them up in faith. In Exodus 20, 24, in every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and I will bless you. And again, Exodus 29, I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of the land of Egypt. So God doesn't need a temple, but we need kind of that physical building, that physical thing that we can look and see and be reminded of God's promises that, yes, he is with us. God came to dwell with us in the person of Christ, but even now we have a very similar thing in the sacrament. The Old Testament people had that physical building, that temple there, to remind them of God's promise to be with them and where they could go to be with God. We have the gospel and word and sacraments, the means of grace, the sacraments that we can see and say, okay, God has promised that in this thing that we can see and taste and touch and hear, he will be with us and his presence will be with us. So the temple was very much a physical manifestation of God's presence and a physical reminder of God's promises, just as the sacraments are for us. We don't need a temple because we have Christ, but we have the sacraments to give us that physical, here is God. Of course, you could another thing you can ask the older kids is you kind of look through the chapter and find the dates when it began and the dates when it ended, the building of the temple, and ask the children, okay, how long did it take Solomon to build the temple? The text says 7 years, actually 7 years and 6 months if you pay close attention to the exact time. But they can kind of figure it out for themselves. That might encourage them, the older kids, obviously, to kind of read through the section looking for something. So Solomon took 7 years and 6 months to build the temple. But of course, we remember what Jesus said to the Jews in John chapter 2, verse 19. He says, tear down this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. Then, of course, he's talking about his body. But that shows us that Jesus is the fulfillment of what Solomon attempted to do in the temple, to build a place for God to dwell among men. But Jesus himself is that fulfillment. And of course, Jesus is talking there about his death and resurrection. The Jews would destroy the temple of God, which is Jesus, and he would rise again from the dead in 3 days. So it took Solomon seven years, 6 months to build the temple. Jesus would accomplish the everlasting temple in just 3 days. Psalm 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble. God comes to us in the person of Christ Jesus to be with us. Obviously, one of the things that comes across very clearly in this Sunday school story is how grand and magnificent the temple was. It was indeed a very beautiful building. One of the wonders of the world, a temple unlike any that has ever was built or ever has been built since, in its beauty and its grandeur. And so one question this brings to mind that you might ask the kids also is, well, what do you think? Do churches need to be big and beautiful? Is that important? And of course, the answer is that we go back to that promise of Jesus where two or three are gathered together in my name, then no, they don't need to be. So should we not spend money to make our churches beautiful? It might be a follow-up question. And that, of course, depends upon our attitude. It's not so much the beauty of the church that is important, but the attitude or the reason why we are making it beautiful. Solomon is very clear, made it beautiful out of thanks and love for God. And because of that, because it was done out of faith and thanksgiving, God was pleased with it. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart. If we make our buildings grand and beautiful in order to serve our own self, our own pride and arrogance, look at what I have done for God. If we kind of approach it in that attitude, like, well, God's going to be pleased with me because look at what a great thing I did, or we did, in building this beautiful building for him. Well, that's not going to make God happy. But if we are thankful and joyful for the gospel and our response is to build a church where we can hear that gospel and proclaim it, that's a good thing. Also, the temple being so grand and beautiful served as a witness to the nations. People were coming from all over to see this thing, and it reflected what Solomon thought about God. By making the temple so beautiful and grand, it was a proclamation of how much Solomon loved the Lord and his mercy and his everlasting endurance. So when we design our churches as well, making them a reflection of our joy for the gospel and our thanks to God, it's not a bad thing. But we have to remember, again, that it's not the outward appearance that matters, but what God cares about, but the heart. And it's not the building that matters, but Christ. Another question that comes up in this section is, why Solomon and not David? David, of course, wanted to build God a temple, but God told him not to, that Solomon would do it instead. So you can go back to 1 Chronicles 22:9, and there God tells David that his son would be a man of rest. David was a man of war. His whole life was spent in fights and in battles, enlarging the kingdom of Israel. By the time Solomon took the throne, now the people of Israel have peace. And it's this reason that God gives why Solomon will build the temple. The temple, of course, is a place of rest. And so God reflected that in his choice of who would build it. There was nothing wrong with David as a warrior king. That was his job. That was what God had called him to do. That's what had to be done at that time. But God's temple is not a temple of war and strife. God's temple is a house of peace and rest. And so it was God decided that it would be built by a king of peace and rest, which was Solomon. This, of course, is once again teaching us a lesson. It's reflecting the truth that God gives us rest from our sins, peace from the world, in his name, in his temple. And Jesus reminds us of this as well in Matthew 11:28. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He was showing once again that he was the fulfillment. He was the new temple. Instead of going to the temple to receive the rest and the forgiveness and the peace of God, people ought to come to him. And of course, the very day of worship was the Sabbath. That was the day that people were supposed to come and worship God. And the word Sabbath even means rest. So it's just reflecting and reiterating that truth. That God's temple is a place of rest, and that's why Solomon is the one who is to build it. And that's reflected even in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in Solomon's correspondence with Hiram, king of Tyre. That fact that Solomon was a king of rest, and that's why he was building the temple, is reflected there. The place of the temple, the location of the temple, is on Mount Moriah, and it's on the very spot where God tested Abraham, and Abraham offered up Isaac as a sacrifice, or was going to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice to God until God stopped him. And that, of course, is also a picture of Christ. So once again, the fact that it was built on that very spot where Isaac was to be offered up, foretelling the coming of Christ, makes the temple again another reference to why the temple was really there as a placeholder, so to speak, as a symbol reminding them of the much greater temple that was to come, which was Jesus Christ. The temple itself was destroyed. Here we have this big, amazing, beautiful temple. And it was destroyed less than 400 years after it was built. 400 years is really not that long. It sounds like a long time, but we have buildings here in North America even that are even older than the temple was when it was destroyed. Not many buildings, but some forts, some other buildings that were built 400 years ago. There are cathedrals and castles in Europe that are over 1,000 years old. And of course, there's Roman ruins that are even older than that. 400 years is not that long. So here's another question to ask the kids, or the older kids at least, to talk about: why do you think God allowed the temple to be destroyed? And not only this temple that Solomon built, but the second temple as well. Solomon took 7 years, 6 months to build it, and in less than 400 years it would be destroyed by the Romans. The second temple, which was being built at the time of Christ, so when Christ was talking about the temple and walking around, the temple he was talking about was not even finished yet. The second temple, well, actually, it's the third temple. There was a second temple that was built after the people of Israel returned from Babylon, and then that third temple was built during the time of King Herod. Or started during the time of King Herod, and wasn't finished till 65 AD, and then that temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So that one, after it was built, only remained for 5 years until it was destroyed. Why would God allow this? Here we have this beautiful temple dedicated to the true worship of God, and one might think, well, he would preserve that temple for the sake of his name. But of course, we go back to 1 Kings 6, 12 and 13. And God's promise to remain among his people if they walk in his word and perform the at which I spoke to your father David and keep his judgments and his commandments. The temple was the physical... the temple was the physical manifestation of God's presence among his people, but the people forsook God and went after foreign idols. They forgot God, they forgot about his promises, and they forsook him. And so that physical manifestation, that physical promise of God's presence among them was taken away because they had forsaken God, not because God forsook them, but because they had forsaken God. And so it was a very real demonstration of God's anger with them and their forsaken of God. And of course, the third temple that was destroyed in 70 AD, the same thing there. The people, the Jewish people, had forsaken God. They refused to believe Christ. They refused to accept God's own son that had walked amongst them. And for that reason, God's presence was removed from them. Of course, the temple was also no longer necessary because now the true believers, the Christians, had Christ himself, who was the very presence of God. So on the one hand, it was taken away because the Jewish people had forsaken God, and so they were abandoned. Not because God abandoned them, but because they had abandoned God. And on the other hand, it was no longer necessary because the true temple was Christ. So once again, the main point here is that no matter how big or beautiful or grand a temple or a church is, what matters to God is faith in the heart. And God dwells among us through his promises, not because we build grand or amazing churches. And we have the same promises that God gave to the people of Israel, that his name will be among us, that he will dwell among us. We have those promises fulfilled in Christ and not in an earthly building such as the temple. The temple was merely a temporary placeholder until Christ would come. We now have Christ, and the beauty of this temple, that is Christ, is far greater than the beauty even of Solomon's. As always, feel free to email me with any questions. Lord's blessings on your Sunday school lesson.